in my native tongue, that means welcome to Sound Mind. This is Stevie. I'm Justin. Our guest today is Charlie Bufford. Clap. Beautiful.
We do what we're told around here.
Only if I tell you, right?
Well, not that's kind of the key of doing what you're told. You have to be told. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm saying is you need to be receiving input from one person.
Right. Wrong. Well, yeah, because you've been like the savior of mankind for like the last two intros we've done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One was the worms, and either way, it basically comes down to Justin loves you and he'll make sure that he takes care of you with some outlandish metaphor that he comes up with.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, fam. Today we have things to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about more things than this because that's just how we roll around here.
That's right.
On the Sound Mind podcast. We'll talk about as many things as we want, gosh darn it.
Straight up. Or as few.
Or as few. Because sometimes we're like, let's talk about that. And then we're like, yeah, who cares? Yeah. It's whatever.
But we will talk.
We do a lot of that. We talk out of our butts sometimes.
That never happens.
We talk out.
I mean,
Stevie.
Not, you're a literal kind of guy. I just want to make sure that they understand.
I don't mean literally.
I know, but I you usually do. So thanks for clarifying.
I actually, wait.
I'm we don't do on. Handstands. I'm going to move on. And like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to move on. So okay. One of the things we want to talk about was the law of diminishing returns as it applies to art and things.
Yeah, so like that. Yeah, break down that concept for us.
So the idea behind the law of diminishing returns, and it applies to more things than this, but in regards to like music or art or just anything, poetry, stuff that you like, that you consume via your mind, as you return to it again and again, you'll get less enjoyment out of it upon repeat.
Gotcha.
Returns. So if you listen to an album 100 times, you might enjoy it less on the 100th time than you did on the 10th time. Okay, that's so the idea.
That's the belief between the law of diminishing returns.
Yes.
Gotcha.
As it applies to this. As it applies to like economics or whatever, the idea is that the more there is, the less valuable it is. And that's true of pretty much anything. Right.
So that's what we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about other things.
Yeah.
I had a weird experience.
Yeah, that I want to hear about. Again.
Should we start with that?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Okay, so I had a weird experience. I had received some unfortunate news, and I had a choice to make. And I was agonizing, as I do. I'm not a decisive person. I'm like, God. And then I just, until I, and so I'm thinking about it. I'm awake until, so I'm an early bedtime person. I'm usually in bed by 9:30. I'm all tucked in. I'm like reading my articles, you know, and then I'm like, oh, I'm tired. 10 o'clock. So late. Turn off my phone.
So funny.
Put it by the side of the bed.
And you show up to like a 10 o'clock in the morning, like appointment, and you're like, oh.
I'm so tired.
I slept 11 hours last night.
Exactly. So our listeners may know this, but I'm a shoot for 10 kind of guy. I shoot for 10 hours. If I get more, fantastic. If wow. I get less, I'm miserable.
Interesting.
Anyway, which I haven't gotten 10 hours of sleep in years. Hours. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not super tired because you slept too much?
I know. I'd have a headache.
That doesn't happen.
It does.
That's not. Guys, what you're telling me is not scientifically possible.
Wow. All right. You might have to have another experience to teach you that one.
Okay.
We'll see.
So I'm laying awake in bed, and it's like 1 o'clock, and I'm like, this is bad. Guys, this is bad, because I'm usually asleep by like 10 or 10:30. And I'm really struggling to fall asleep. So eventually I fall asleep. I have no idea what time it was when I fell asleep. But then I awaken. I awaken from a deep sleep, not having a dream, not anything. Like, I'm just sleeping in the void. Another thing that our listeners may know is that I don't have dreams. I just exist in this void of darkness, and then I wake up, and that's it. So anyway, I was in my void, and then I was awoken. And it was very startling. It was like, and I've explained it like this a few times to the people that I've explained it to. It's like being yelled at, but without the volume. It's like, you know, when you're in an intense situation and someone's like, do this. And you're like, okay. Like, it's not really like an angry yelling, but it's like yelling. So I am awakened to the thought of yelling, but not the sound of yelling, just the thought of it. And it was an inaudible voice. Now you may say, Justin, what does that mean? It's hard to explain. It is so hard to explain. But imagine that instead of the sound of a voice going into your ear holes, the processing part is already in your brain. So you're processing the words that are being said without hearing them. This is strange, but it is what happened. So anyway, I'm being yelled at. And it's like, hey, this choice in your life, very conclusively, do not do that. Do not do that thing that you are trying to do. And I was like, yeah, but actually, if you think about it, maybe I should. And then it was like, actually, don't even do that. The words "don't you dare" were repeated many times. Wow. Don't you dare even think about doing that. And I was like, well, but if you think about it, and I'm downplaying the intensity of this.
Yeah.
My response was a little bit more like, well, if you think about it, oh, there's people over there.
Hey, hi, people.
If you think about it, it's like, I have to do it because it's reasons. And then it was like, no, don't you even think about doing that. I don't know why I did that
voice. So did it create more stress, the voice telling you to do something that you didn't want to do? Kinda. Or did it stress you out, the idea of doing it the way you weren't planning on it?
First of all, there was tears. So imagine a pyramid in your mind.
Okay. Tears when you woke up?
Not literal tears.
Oh.
Like crocodile tears or whatever. I'm talking about like a pyramid, okay? There's levels. So
tears.
Because the most important layer of a pyramid is the bottom layer, okay? The thick boy, as we like to call it in the pyramid making business.
Right.
Thick boy. The bottom level, which is the level that supports all the other levels, was I was sleeping. Now I'm awake. An invisible person is yelling at me inside my mind. That's scary. I'm carrying on a conversation that's lasting a very long time post being awoken. This is not a dream. I am awake. And I know I was awake because I didn't go back to sleep after this.
Wow.
I was very startled, and I just laid awake in bed until my alarm went off at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, and I just want everybody to know, I'm not on meds. This has never happened to me. I don't do drugs recreationally either. So I was of completely sane, sound mind.
Ooh, come on.
Booyah. I wasn't thinking I was going to say that at the beginning of my sentence, but right. Then I was like,
I wish I wouldn't have reacted, but it just was there.
Yeah, you had to. I had to as well, because yeah. I was like, oh my God. Anyway.
We're on sound mind right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
Hi, everybody.
I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, so things were happening.
Yes.
Yelling was tears. Happening. Tears.
Levels.
That was the bottom tier. The next tier or level was, I was awoken. Startling.
Yeah.
The next tier was, this is an ongoing situation. Sorry, I'm hitting second puberty. So that's why that happened just now. This is an ongoing conversation that is happening right now as I'm thinking this and I'm being yelled at.
Yeah.
Not really at, towards.
Yeah.
It was like it was happening towards.
So it was like there was an urgency or a desperation in the voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in the words. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare.
So I guess don't more even. The words, not the voice, because there wasn't no.
Yeah. There was no like sound. It's so weird. It's so weird. Anyway, and then the next tier, which I'd say the top tier, is it was a thing that I would not have chosen on my own. Like, this is something that was pointing me in a direction that I would not have gone based on my own thoughts, my own feelings about the situation. So that went on for some time that I don't know how long it was. But then after that, I just laid awake, like I said, until 6 o'clock. And so I'm still processing this experience, but I have no reason not to believe that was God speaking to me, which is a weird thing to say out loud.
So,
but it was strange, and I'm still, it's crazy, but yeah, it filled me with a lot of resolve. I was able to make decisions. Things happened. Those decisions still bring me an amount of anxiety. But they have been made. Things have been said. Choices have been made. Here we are today, sitting here with each other at this table.
Wow.
And that is what happened to me.
That's incredible.
So many questions.
Last night, Eve, the night before last, is what I'm trying to say.
You have questions?
Or the morning before last? I don't even know. Was that yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That happened yesterday morning. Oh, my gosh. That's weird.
Yeah,
that's
here weird you are, man. This thing is happening fast. You said questions. Yeah, you got questions?
I think, like, one of my biggest questions is, like, just hearing even the way that you recount it and the newness, the bizarreness, the, like, it doesn't sound like this is, like, anywhere in your scope of reality.
No.
Up until it actually happened.
No.
And so, what is that doing to you then, like your belief system and like about God and yourself and all that stuff?
Yeah. So the only other experience I've ever had that is even close to this, and I think I've told you about this. I don't know if I've told you. When I was really young.
Chupacabras.
No. That's another story. Although that was a good one too. It wasn't the same though. It wasn't the same level of intensity. And so I think, like, not that I want to get into that one so much, but it was like I could have just thought that to myself, like with that one. Right. But with this one, it was like I was asleep, and then it was like, wake up, bam, what?
Yeah,
I'm awake.
This is, you're talking about the one that just happened?
Yes, this one was like I was deeply asleep, no reason to be awake, and then it was like, wake up, throw a punch.
So what was the other one?
The childhood one?
Yes. So when I was a kid, I was probably like 9 or 10, and I was just kind of starting to try to think about the logistics of God, I would say. How does that work? One of the questions I had was, how could something exist eternally? And so before I went to sleep, I was like, hey, God, please explain this to me. Please explain how this works. Fell asleep. I had a weird dream, a very weird dream. This is beyond any level of dream.
Was this before or after you stopped dreaming?
This is before I stopped dreaming.
Okay.
this is way before.
A whole nother podcast right there.
So I'm in space. An ethereal presence is floating before me. I'm like, yo, what up? And he's like, hey.
Can you see it?
I'm God. It's like if you could see the outline of a person, but like space dust.
Right.
With like glowiness.
It's like transparent.
Like wispy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like kind of a humanoid kind of thing. It's got arms. It's got legs.
Right.
It's probably got a beard.
Apparently wings, or it's flapping for some reason.
Yeah. That was just me.
I'm sorry. I don't want to get you distracted.
Yeah, you are.
I liked whatever you did.
Okay. So anyway, so we're floating.
Majestical.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely majestical. Have I ever said that word on this podcast?
Don't. Just go.
Because,
go.
Okay.
Yeah, there's way too much there.
Because I have used that word before. Anyways, so we're floating in space. And he pulls in, like, all these planets. And he's like, I'm going to use these planets as a diagram. And I'm going to show you how something can always exist. Now, I do not remember any of the content. I just remember that it took a long time. And he was like, and then that's how that works. And I was like, dude, that makes perfect sense. And then I woke up. And I was like, what? Now I understand how. And then I thought about it. And I was like, actually, I don't get it. But while I was asleep.
It made
complete sense. I was like, and then A plus B equals C. Right. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible job. You know, I was like, this is all makes sense now. And then I woke up and it was gone. But that was the closest to like the level of, this is so outside of my own brain that I don't think I came up with it.
Right.
So that's number two. This is the new number one. This trumps
being in outer space with God and him using planets to as a diagram eternity.
Yes. Let me explain why. Because I was sleeping, right? So you can kind of like, oh, well, it was probably just like a crazy dream. And like your brain was tricking you into thinking that you understood it.
Giving you answers of the universe.
Yeah.
Unlocking keys.
Yeah, you could have imagined that it made sense, but you actually didn't. But this was like, I was asleep. And then it was like, throat punch. What? And then it was like having a continuous awake dialogue that was super intense to try to convince me to do something that I wanted to do. Right. Or not to do something that I wanted to do. And it was like so outside. It was so outside.
And
it was
you're, like, well, you, how old are you, 27?
Oh, yeah, and you're grown up too.
29. Yeah, you're a 29-year-old man as opposed to like a 9-year-old questioning.
So you've lost a bit of the magic.
Yes, I have lost the magic.
But does this bring, like, the magic and the curiosity?
I mean, yeah.
Like, does it take you back to that 9-year-old boy?
Yeah, it definitely did. It was a very similar experience. It was really weird.
It's interesting to me that how we, like, a lot of times our first approach to, like, believing about God is, how can I prove there is not one?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even we have these, like, you're processing these moments. You're like, no, because it was a dream I was sleeping. Or no, because instead of, like, studying to, like, find out, is there one? Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just interesting.
It's like it's almost like a negative energy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, to prove that God exists, I'm going to try to prove that he doesn't exist.
Right. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to discredit like these moments I'm having with God or not. So that, oh, yeah, that could have been all weird. Instead of like, what if that was God bringing me to space and answering the very question that I asked the night before? Because that's kind of weird too, right?
Yeah.
With diagrams of planets.
It was really weird.
You know, Paul talks about going to the third heaven. Sounds like you've already been there at least once.
And not even in a drugs kind of way.
Yeah, a schoolboy lesson.
Yeah, dude. It was so weird. But I was like, welcome to your classroom. Mm. This is space. How are you doing today?
I love the props.
Yeah. It was really Saturn. Strange. Yeah. Saturn's bars. That's a great song, by the way. It's a gorilla song. Mm. But I think one of the things about, like, well, I told people about it when I had that dream.
Right.
I told them about it, and then they would say stuff like, well, it was probably just a dream. Like, don't read into it too much. And so I think over time, it was just kind of like, I started to question it. And then even though some part of me believed that it happened and that it was real, it makes me think of a Harry Potter quote, actually, because you haven't read Harry Potter. If you were, okay.
No. So I'm thinking Polar Express.
I was thinking The Little Prince.
I love Little Prince. But at the end of the 7th book, Harry dies for a short period of time. And while he's dead, he talks to another person who's dead. And kind of in the in-between, they call it the in-between. It's like while you're fading out of this world and passing into the next one. And as he's returning back to his body, Harry asks Dumbledore, he's like, can you tell me if this is real? Like, or is it just in my head? And he says, well, of course it's happening in your head, but why would you think that means it's not real? And then he wakes up and it's just like, And so that's kind of like my my question. Yeah. It's like, just because it happened in my head, does that mean it's not real? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of a quote. I'm going to butcher this, but Einstein has a quote where he was talking about the imagination. It's not exact, but imagination is more powerful than knowledge and your ability to wander in your mind. And there's something with that, that, you know, your brain engages with knowledge. But, yeah, it's crazy, like, even just thinking about that quote, because if it happens in your mind, how could it not be real? You know, which opens up this idea of, you know, we have an imagination, we can engage, you know, thoughts, and that's a...
Yeah, I don't know how how far out there to go with this. 'Cause for me, it opens up so much. So, like, you speak of in your mind... but I think as we become grown-ups, the magic of creation and reality kind of dies. And so we make everything on one plane. Mm. What I can see, what I can experience sensually, you know, eyes, touch, taste, like that's reality. And anything right. outside of that, but there's so many, even you know, with quantum physics and stuff, they're like, they're coming to like these really profound conclusions on just the depths of multiple layers of reality mm-hmm. and multiple dimensions and stuff. And so like I look at your experience as a child and was it a dream or were you in a place where God was able to deal with you on a dimension that he could with your soul or with mm-hmm. your spirit and take your soul to this place. And you've had this experience so that now it wasn't like just something that happened chemically inside of your brain, but the memory that your soul has from an experience that it had in a real place, the memory of that is now stored inside of your brain, which even we know memories, well, we might all know, but for those of us that don't know, memories are actually physical, tangible things. Mm-hmm. When we create a long-term memory, the brain, there's proteins in the brain that actually create something physical mm-hmm. inside of the brain, and they look like little trees and stuff. And so now that moment that you had became a physical thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real thing inside right. of your brain, and so now you're able to go back and access that. but like even with your current experience, like he was talking to you on a level in a reality much deeper than anything that you had known before, because for you the communication, the techniques of communication only happened one way. Mm. And now you're having an encounter where it's like, actually there's multiple ways that we can communicate, and let me show you one.
Space is one. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, it was very visceral, and it was very outside of anything that I've experienced before.
Yeah.
Or even heard about. Mm. Like, I mean, like it's somewhat scriptural, because like you read about people in scripture being awoken. And it's like, hey, what you doing? And they're like, what? I was sleeping. It was kind of like that. It was very much like when I say I was throat punched, it was like immediately I was awake. Mm. It was like, ah! I'm like, what's happening? It wasn't like, what's, so like someone like kind of like, hey, like kind of prodding you awake. Mm-hmm. What's going on, dude? And you're like, what? Is it morning? It wasn't like that. Mm. It was like a violent. It was like a violent awakening.
Cold to like completely alert.
Yeah,
in an instant.
It was nuts.
Yeah, that's really cool hearing you talk about it, because I know we've talked about encounters with God on this podcast before, and so it's neat to hear you talk about it, because I'm like, oh yeah, yeah,
of course.
That's exactly what it's like. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is definitely outside of a normal experience that I have in the day-to-day.
Yeah.
In the 9-to-5 grind.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I can tell because we've had this conversation before, and when we have before, it's like I'm talking and you're kind of like evaluating, like, yeah. Almost like that thing that you were talking about, like, yeah, well, he was dreaming when that happened, so, right. You know, like, maybe not. You know, now we're having this conversation like, this thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my theory is what's going to happen is the more I talk about it, the more people are going to try to explain it away.
Yeah.
Which I think is somewhat normal. Like, I think people are like, he had an experience that I have not had, and so I need to relate it to an experience that I have had, and I need to make it more similar. Yeah. I don't know why people do that, but I feel like people do that.
Well, we're scared. We're scared of what we don't understand. You know, what we can't comprehend intellectually.
Yeah.
In large part, I think people in general are uncomfortable with that.
Because if you accept it, then you have to do something with it.
Mm.
Like, so what do you do? What do you do with that? Like, even you, what do you do with that now?
Dude, I don't know.
Like, where do you go from here?
Yeah. And we were kind of talking about this before we started, but, and I said this then, but my encounters with God have been always like action-based. It's been like, well, what should I do? And if I should do this, make sure I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then I evaluate based on the situation. So like if, for instance, if I'm trying to choose between two jobs or whatever, I'll wait until one very obviously closes, and then I'll do the other one.
Yeah.
But it was never like a dialogue or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, it's very strange.
I heard this testimony, this story this one woman was telling. I can't remember the name of the woman, but she was at home, and she's a Christian woman who is familiar with hearing the voice of the Lord and doing something as a result of the voice of the Lord. And she was spending time with God, and she heard God say, oh, I'll make up a name. She's like, Susie just got a new washer and dryer last week. And Susie was this woman's, like, really good friend.
Mm.
And so she's sitting there like, God, okay, Susie got a new washer and dryer. You know, she's like, what do you want me to do with that?
Right.
You know, and God told her, friends just talk.
Mm.
And so she ended up finding out her friend got a washer and dryer, you know, and God was just telling her about it.
Mm. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, she finally got a new washer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's what I find interesting about both of yours. It's both of those were like just a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this 9-year-old boy has a question, and I don't know, it's really phenomenal that he would come and that he would answer your question and just sit down. Like, we'll just sit down in a place where I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just talk with you through some of these things.
Right.
But even like he had to give you something in that moment too to make it comprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you understood it in that experience.
Yeah.
And so it's like he had to give you like his understanding and his insight so that you could grasp the concepts and the ideas that he was sharing with you.
Yeah.
So I wonder too, what residue of that was left, like in your mind, and in you that you have access to now. But then also in this, like you're going through like this really like intense decision-making thing, and you're not making the decision that he knows is going to be the best for you.
Mm.
And so he's just like, we need to talk about this right now. don't really have until morning. Yeah. He's able to get you in a way that you were able to hear him. Because if it would have happened like just driving down the street and it just came to like a sweeping thought, like, hey, Justin's probably not the best idea. Like you might've just rejected that, but he did it in a way that for the present, like you guys were able to talk through it. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause you said, like, he said stuff and you said stuff and then he said more stuff and you try to get him just to think about it a little bit longer and he's like, you don't even think about it. And like, there was this dialogue going and like, it's been interesting for me like the past couple months to discover how much God just wants a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the beginning, like Adam and Eve, like God, they mess up, do the exact opposite of what he told them. And he comes and he's like, hey, I just want to talk. And they're like, no, it's all her fault. It's your fault. It's like, can we just have a conversation? And like, nobody would talk to him.
Yeah.
Like how interested he is in a conversation. And that, like in these really dynamic moments for you, like it's just been a conversation. Like it hasn't been, like even a convincing you, like first I need you to like acknowledge me as this is who I am. Get down on your face and worship me. And then we'll deal with this.
Right.
It's just like, hey, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Or you want to talk about this, and so I'm available.
Yeah.
I think that's super, super interesting.
Yeah. I care so much that regardless of how you think this is going to play out, I don't want you to make this decision because I want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's interesting with that. The Adam and Eve piece all is birthed out of Eve listening to another voice and submitting to that being a source of intimate knowledge about what things are like and what God's like, you know? And then it's crazy because, so we know like when that happens, you know, they do the fig leaves. They're like, oh, they knew they were naked. Then they're hiding from God. God says, hey, where are you at? He knows. Oh, we're over here hiding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you hiding? Well, we're naked. And the God says, who told you that?
Yeah.
You know, immediately he addresses like the other intimate voice. Like, I'm the one that tells you, like, who told you that? You know? It's just.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when you were sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool because he engages him in a conversation. Like, and it wasn't like, hey, guys, I know what you did, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like going to carry it and then sentence him to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, he knew.
Yeah.
But he came, like a good parent, he came to engage him in a conversation. And, like, I think it's in Hosea. where he goes through, he knows all the stuff that's going on, but he's like, let us reason together. Let us talk this out. Mm-hmm. Like, he just wants to have a conversation with us.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think about for you, like, does that spark an appetite for future? Like, what can we talk about next? Like, okay, that's handled. Like, what's right. next? Like, hey, remember when I was 9? Can we do that again?
Yeah, can we readdress this?
No, I'm serious. Like, if it doesn't for you, I've been here the whole morning, like, I need to ask the Lord, like, can you show me how this thing works with eternity? And, like, you know, if you want to take me to space like you did with Justin, like, I'm down with that because that sounds fun.
And he did it with some flair, too.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just came and, like, oh, hey, that's too big for you to understand, little guy. He's like,
let's play with
bro, I got some planets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do this big.
Yeah.
Let me show you. Let me take you to my classroom. Mm-hmm. Whoa. That was so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Well, yeah, kind of to answer your question, it's still so like I don't know what to do with that still. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, what kind of conversations do we even have? I don't know. Like, you know, like when you get a new friend, you don't really know what to talk about at first. Yeah. You're like, well, what are they like? You know, and you kind of have to, like, prod a little bit.
Yeah.
that's kind of what it feels like. Yeah. Except this person, like, went into my house while I was sleeping and, like, throw punched me awake. So
you're a little scared.
Yeah, like, I'm a little scared, yeah. Well, it was scary. I mean, it just was. Like, it was weird and it was unusual and it was... But I think you're right. Like, I think if he hadn't literally woken me up in the middle of me being asleep, I don't think I even would have registered any of that.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like, but we're just so, like, we got so much going on in our brains that it's like we don't leave any kind of room for other stuff.
Does that make you wonder, like, what conversations you've missed in the past?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, like, what, because I'm a busy guy. Like, I fill my brain with stuff.
Mm.
I fill my day with things, and I fill my brain with stuff. And I just run around, and I just do all the things, and I'm like, oh, time to go to bed, and then I go to bed. Like, that's pretty much it. But it's like, yeah, like, in what kind of, like, what kind of quiet moments have things been maybe obscured?
Mm-hmm.
Things have obscured potential throat punching? I don't know. It's really weird. I think
throat punching happens as a result of not having quiet moments.
Mm. Yeah, you know? You're right. You're
like
right.
I call it my 2x4 moments, and I still have those. But those are like what originally woke me up, even before I knew who God was. I'd have these moments that were really dramatic, where I almost died, like, and I probably should have died. Mm. I'm like, oh God, if you're real, I need you to, you know what I mean? They were. And I think, I'm a hard-headed individual.
Hmm.
So once I grab a hold of something, like, I'm like, yes, I'm holding on to that. But a lot of times it takes me a while to hold on to the right thing. Mm-hmm. And God knows that about me. So, it took some whacks across the head, you know. But I think that we can have, hey, son, you know, gentle elbow nudge. Yeah. Maybe not even. Maybe just a head turn, like if we get really in tune with him speaking, just like a head turn, and then, you know, he starts talking. I think that practicing rest and practicing conversations can avoid throat punches, you know? And if that's what if that's where the appetite starts, hey, that's a place to start.
Yeah.
It says what the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, you know? So
it's like you're pretty afraid.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, this could be great.
So what was the original topic? Because I have a question.
Yeah.
Concerning this on that.
So the original topic was the law of diminishing returns.
The law of diminishing returns. So because you had this experience, does it make you want, does it like satisfy in a way where you're like you're hoping for less, or does it give you a greater appetite?
Well, for one thing, it had a very tangible effect just on my life because it was a life altering decision. It wasn't like a flippant, like, what cereal should I have in the morning? It was like, it changes the course of your life. And so
Oh man,
I could have made
that's heavy.
I could have made
a lot of things.
A choice that would have been super sucky for me,
right?
And it was like I will, and God was like, I will throat punch whoever I need to throat punch.
Starting with you.
Starting with you. That this doesn't happen. And so that gave me a huge amount of resolve because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. But also because it was so tangible. And so if that leads to other things where I get resolve in areas that I need resolve, I'm not about to turn that down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's just one facet of it. But it was like a door opened a little bit, and I kind of see inside a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like a little bit. So I got to be like,
right.
You know, I got to like push on. that's what it feels like. I feel like I'm at some kind of.
It's like an invitation to a party that you didn't know was going on.
Yeah, you can hear like the club music.
Yeah.
And there's like lights going around, and I'm like, what's going on in there?
You open the door, and God's teaching class with these planets. You're like, oh, you finally made it.
Welcome back.
He's like,
part two.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, Creation 201. Come on in.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah, I would say that it has, because I wouldn't say that I was satisfied by where I was, but I definitely wasn't like, what kind of possible interactions are there?
Right.
You know, I wasn't thinking about it like that. I was thinking about like, and I kind of said this earlier, it was like, what do I need to do next?
Right.
It was kind of like my thought process. Like, what things does God want me to achieve? Like what do I need to do? Right. It was like that. It wasn't like, what other ways are there to interact?
Well, it's crazy, though. I think that busyness can do that to us. You know, mm-hmm. we're so busy, we don't have time to really look at our life and go, hey, am I satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are. By default, because we don't check back into it, like, hey, this isn't where I saw things going, or mm-hmm. you know, how am I doing? Am I happy with my marriage? Do I like my relationships with my friends? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's a real. I recognize it's a real enemy in my life a lot of times mm-hmm. is busyness, and then when I stop to check in, I'm like, oh, I have been satisfied mm-hmm. unintentionally because I haven't, you know. Stop to think like what could there be, you know, like even back to diminishing returns, you know, not back because we've been here the whole time,
right?
With music, right? Like you can, like you've brought up many times, you can casually fill your brain with just sound of different music, mm-hmm. or you can choose to intentionally go seek out artists and listen and be like, ooh, I like that. What else like that is out there?
Yeah.
Right. So then you begin to engage that wonder and that excitement of like, oh, what else sounds like this? And you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so it's the same thing. So you practice that. You practice that better than a lot of people I know, you know, when it comes to music. I don't know how it's been lately, but regardless.
Right. You've been so busy.
I've been so busy.
It was so much stuff.
So many things.
So many things.
I think there's like an not an allure, but like a deception of satisfaction, or like we convince ourselves that we're satisfied. Because if we acknowledge that we're not satisfied, then that's depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that'll like compile the problem that we're in.
Oh, come on,
because we're not in a place that we can do anything about it, right? We have to keep doing all the things, and we have to keep being busy, because if we stop doing all the things and stop being busy, then life is going to fall apart for everybody. But if we acknowledge that I'm not satisfied, then I'm depressed in all the things, and I'm anxious and I'm angry, and so we tell ourselves, I'm satisfied. I'm happy with where I am. But even like knowing both of you guys, and just having the conversations that we've had, it's like I can hear like different places where it's like I want more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungrier for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this place called Damon's in Chicago, and it was probably the best meal I've ever had.
Mm.
And I didn't know satisfaction over a meal until I experienced that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like the meal was so good that I didn't want to eat anything the day after
mm-hmm.
because of the memory of the meal mm-hmm. was so satisfying that I didn't want my brain to register another taste because I didn't want anything to overshadow that.
Right.
And so like when we're truly satisfied, like there's this joy and there's this peace and there's this everything engaged in that. But like when we're constantly like in this place of like, I need something else, and we're checking out I think that's where we fill our brains with so much stuff, because it's like, at least I can get an escape here. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to this place. I can go to Neverland from time to time to escape all the stuff that I need to escape and all the busyness. Or we'll sleep for 10 hours, even if we don't dream, because the void, it's least none of that stuff is here. Mm-hmm. I'm a super avid dreamer, and my dreams are adventures, and so... like, I like to go to that place. Like, where are we going this week? what adventure are we going on, and who are we going to save? But we find all of these things because we know that we're not, but we can't just face that place. Like, I'm not satisfied. But then you have that experience of, like, there's something more. Mm-hmm. And so am I going to convince myself I'm satisfied again with the lesser? Because I think one of the things that you can do is, like, okay, that stuff like that doesn't really happen. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a special moment. And so I can't expect that to ever happen again for the rest of my life. And so mm-hmm. I'm just going to put that thing on this shelf, and I'm going to put a plaque under it of, like, special moment in my life, and I'm going to live the next 40 years recounting the special moment I had.
So special.
Or you can do, like, it sounds like you're doing, like, hey, there's something, like, there's a door right there, and it's mm-hmm. open, and there's stuff, and so maybe I should explore a little bit.
Can I live inside the party?
And you wouldn't explore if you're satisfied with everything in this, and there's no need. There's no draw to something else.
Which is, following the analogy, it's like we're in a hallway. Like, what are we doing? Like, we're trying to, like, fill our lives up in a hallway, and there's, like, a door at the end of the hallway that's cracked open. And it's like, don't you want to go, like, into the apartment of the party you got invited to? Like, why are we hanging out inside the hallway? That doesn't make sense.
See, that's so crazy. Because I think about, like, you talk about the adventure thing. And, like, with adventures and with, like, exploits, you know, and with, like, saving people, doing things. Like, it's like you're traveling somewhere, you know. But, like, when you enjoy something, you come to a place where you stay put for a while. You know what I mean? Like, you rest. You, like, you're turning everything else off to have a moment. And so it's interesting because I love going places and experiencing new, you know, but not at the expense of, like you said, like, if we're always moving, if we're always traveling, and we're not camping to, like, experience the finer things in life that actually make when we... you know, when we leave those rooms and now our journey becomes, you know, a compilation of all those moments that we haven't enjoyed, you know? So,
yeah,
this is cool. Puts some things in perspective for me just talking about it, but
yeah.
So this law of diminishing returns, talking about, like, as we experience something more times, basically the idea of it is kind of like, the less enjoyment we get out of it, sort of?
Basically, yeah. Like, our appetite remains, but we get filled up less.
Right.
So, and part of the reason I wanted to talk about this, and I also said this, we said a lot of this before we started.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because a friend of mine, or maybe an acquaintance is a better way to put it, Jason Farley, he has a podcast, which I will plug immediately. The Westminster Confession of Funk is what it is called. Anyways, he makes the position that the reverse is happening. We're not getting less enjoyment. Our tank, so to speak, our capacity for enjoyment is increasing. Our hunger is increasing. Our desire. But the thing itself is not diminishing in us. We are increasing.
Yeah, like you use that, like, analogy, like the stomach. If you eat more, your stomach stretches. It takes more to fill it, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that applies in, we can just address it. We can address the elephant. I don't know if you can hear it on the microphone. Charlie's phone is going off. I like to address all the elephants in the room. Like, sometimes we get visitors. See, and they'll, like, knock on the door. I'll be like, let's let them in.
I think was that really an elephant? I mean, let's talk about what that really means. Like, when there's elephants in the room.
Right.
That was, like, a little piece of lint on, you know, Charlie's, like, sweater.
That was just some of the stuff.
Yeah. We've already more than addressed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Elephants.
I just like to make it uncomfortable.
You did that.
Thanks.
Good job.
It's a gift.
It really is. It's one of my giftings, my spiritual giftings.
Good to know your gift set. Operate out of that with freedom.
Yeah. So he makes that position, and I would apply it in so many different ways, mm-hmm. but for one, it's less depressing to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a more adventurous outlook. Like what new thing am I going to adventure for?
Right.
What new experience, whatever. And then when you apply that spiritually, I think that works as well.
Yeah.
Specifically to the situation, completely by happenstance.
Yeah.
This is a complete coincidence. But my understanding is increasing because now the door is open, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So I can just push it open.
What was that thing you said about the when you phrased a certain way before we started the podcast of like when the supply grows and the demand grows, then the value on the supply diminishes? Is that kind of what you're
basically
saying?
So the more there is of something, mm-hmm. the less value it has because you can get it anywhere. It's right. like it becomes any old thing. When something is more rare, then it is more valuable. And that's the idea behind like gold, right?
Right.
It's not a super common thing, even though it has no, or at least very little, like value in terms of performance, in terms of like what it can do. It's actually like a very bad metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very soft. It bends really easily. It's not very strong. But because it's rare, it has value.
That's pretty.
And that's it. Well, yeah. Right. But I'm thinking in terms of like, you know, societal good, right?
Right.
Like mm-hmm. What good does gold do for society? Yeah. And that's why it's used, it has been used as a currency.
Yeah.
Is because like, look, like I've got this thing that is so rare and everybody's, oh, I want that.
Right.
I want that a lot. And then when you buy something, like, I don't know, some lettuce. Like how much lettuce can I get for one of these golds? I got so much lettuce. But yeah, just as something saturates a market,
yeah.
it becomes less valuable.
So what do you guys think about it? You know, just the idea in general, do you guys have anything? I mean, one of the things that comes to my mind is, well, talking about music and songs.
Yeah.
You know, there's songs in my life that like when I first heard them, super powerful, super mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in some areas, like it's actually more powerful when I hear it now. Because I have this context of life that I've lived through and where I've heard that song's in different moments of my life. It's almost like I'm hearing it through a history
mm-hmm.
that, and it's been with me, you know what I mean? Through these moments. And I mean, sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. I hear a song and I'm like, oh, I don't want to remember any of that, you know? But, so I guess in some ways, like, I don't know if I agree, you know what I mean? Completely. I like the way the guy phrased it, your capacity
yeah.
for what you desire grows,
mm-hmm.
and so you're not satisfied with as much as you used to be, you know. I like yeah. that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, but the thing in itself, does the enjoyment I get, so like if I get a thing, do I enjoy it less the more I have it? I mean, yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, when you first brought this up to me, the first thing I thought about was drug use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you first get high, and I think it's like this with anything, like when we first experience something that's like something good, something that we like, there's like a euphoria, like, you know, our brains are releasing like the serotonin and the dopamine, and like there's this like, because there's this new and this freshness on it. And even with music, like you hear a song that you connect with, and it's the first time hearing it, it's like, like you want to breathe in that song, like you want that song to play inside of you. I know me, like
yeah.
I'll get in the car and I'll turn it up as loud as I can without blowing the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because I just want to feel it. And the more I hear that song, like I don't respond the same way
mm-hmm.
every way.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, like the capacity grows, and so like now I'm hungry for something that sound more. I'm hungry for the connection with that sound more, like with drug use, like I might, you know, if I'm shooting heroin, I might get like the greatest high of my life off of like a gram or two,
right?
The first time. But if I'm shooting that you know, a few times a day, every day, you know, those couple grams aren't going to do the same thing for me. Like now I'm up to like 5 grams, like 3 times a day, because I'm trying to reach that same place. I'm trying to get to that same experience. So my appetite has increased and I need more. And I think that's why we have a constant flooding of the market.
Yeah.
Because there's a greater desire for it. And so I wouldn't even say that the, I know with, the one-on-one, the value might seem to decrease, but the profit increases because there's a greater hunger for those things. And so, well, whereas I might have been able to sell this one thing for $100, I might be able to break it up into like 70 pieces and sell those 70 pieces for 20. And so there's a much greater appetite now society-wide for that thing than there was before.
Yeah.
and so... because everybody's stomachs are stretching. With food, we don't like eat and like, okay, I've been eating for like 30 years now. And so like my appetite for food isn't what it used to be. It's not like, no, like I'm wanting everything now. Yeah. I just want to devour all the food, whether it's good or bad. I want the good stuff, but I'll take the cheap stuff to get a quick feel because my appetite is increasing the more that I consume stuff.
But it's interesting, too, because, like, the cheap stuff used to be a certain, you know, it used to have a certain level in my appetite, where now, I'll take it, but it's like, I ate at this place in Chicago, you know, and I...
It's like McDonald's was it until I went to Red Robin.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I just want Red Robin. Or that's it until you go to, like, a five-star spot where they have, like, gold flakes on the... on the burger, and you're like, that's all I want now.
Right.
It's like the ceiling's just going up.
Have you guys ever had Cougar Gold cheese? Oh, man. Yeah, so it's like, I love cheese. And then Cougar Gold, it's actually made at, is it Washington State University? Or?
Okay, that's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it is.
Is
well,
it made from a cougar?
Cougar Gold.
Is it cougar cheese?
Yeah.
So, like, they milk a cougar?
No. Washington State University is the Cougars, and that's why they call it that.
Oh.
Right, yeah. I was looking inside.
No, they tried that way, and it just was not the same result. So they switched it up. Anyway, this cheese is the bomb. And my point is, once I've had it, now when I'm eating, I never ate cheddar before and was like, man, this could be Cougar Gold. You know what I'm saying? But now I'm like... this could be Cougar Gold. Yeah. Like, so this is great, but it could be wonderful.
Is it like a cheddar cheese, or like, what is it?
I'm not sure. It's Cougar Gold.
I feel like
it's really expensive. It comes actually in like a round tin.
Is it like wrapped in that like silky or like wax paper?
Yeah, it's not super. I think it is a soft cheese. It's not. I have some actually, but you pay like $30. For like a tin of this thing, and it's so good. And a little bit goes; it's very strong. You know, a little bit goes a long way. Cooking with it's amazing. Now here I am plugging Cougar Gold. You just take a little bit, put it in like you know a pot of like sauce, and it will just give you that essence of who it is in the sauce.
Where do you buy this cheese? Where can this cheese be found?
I think you can get it at a lot of different grocery stores, but it's usually like. Where the specialty cheeses are, you know what I mean? And those little, a lot of times they're like a little island of, you know, wrapped cheeses. And you're like, oh, give me like, what is that, 6 ounces of cheese for $10? And then Cougar Gold, you're like, whoa! That's like, or they have it behind a lock box in the back because I've had some issues. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, where the deli meat, I think sometimes they'll keep it behind that glass too.
Dude, I'll check it out, dude. I love cheese.
I love it.
I'm a little ashamed, but you know those Parmesan triangles? I have bought those and eaten them.
Just straight up?
Yes.
So you do love cheese.
Unwrap it. And
Not very many people can go straight to the mouthpiece with Parmesan.
I think we should take a road trip to Pullman and get some fresh Cougar Gold.
Oh, let's do it, dude. I got some Cougar Gold. We should have a guy time and just...
some cheese.
They serve it at the Onion. There's one of their appetizers comes with. I saw you guys. It's like, when we go,
when we go to.
You can dip. There's one that's like these little bread nubbies or their cheese, and you dip it in the Cougar Gold. But also, you can get it added to like your burger and stuff, like on the side, and they melt it down.
Dude. So first of all,
where were we?
I don't remember. But would you have said bread nubbies before you met me?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I have I have that effect on people's vocabulary for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, the thick boy, you know, I know from now on is the bottom tier of a pyramid. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My roommates will say stuff, and I'm like, you would not have said that if we did that.
I had an effect on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Largely negative. But.
Yeah,
it's like an infiltration, really.
All right.
It's like you thought you knew words, but now you're gonna have new words for things that don't make sense.
Yeah, and I'd say that doesn't apply. Like the more of you I get, the more I want. So that law doesn't really apply to our relationship.
Yeah, there you go.
Or cougar gold, for that matter.
I was gonna say, if you were milking a cougar,
mm-hmm.
that's like some of the most dangerous milk.
Yeah.
Because they got like, chink, they got claws.
I think crabbing in Alaska would become second.
Yeah. Most
dangerous jobs.
Because you got to find a cougar that's a female and has recently had bebas.
Right.
And you got to trank it and then milk it while it's asleep. That's the only way you can do it.
Wait for it to find you first and then try to milk it while it's trying to kill you. Your way's better.
There's a lot
Your way's better.
Here's the problem. There's a lot of teats, I feel like, probably. It's not like with a cow, there's like four, you know, like that's doable. There's probably like at least eight. I want to say probably more.
Right.
We're so far off track.
Yeah. This happens.
This is unfortunately.
I was wondering, like, is this the norm?
Yeah, yeah. I saw that look on your face and I'm like, this is us.
Man. Yeah, this is unfortunately how we operate. Mm-hmm. But what we were talking about.
Yes.
If we can go back in time, like 10 minutes.
Okay.
I don't remember.
The law of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How cougar gold is. A part of it all, right? Yeah, I didn't really take us back anywhere.
Yeah,
but. Took us back to the cougar gold.
I mean, I would make the position that the law of diminishing returns is, I don't want to say false, but maybe the perspective is just, you know, because you can. It's when you watch it. You're like, hey, that makes sense because you're observing it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't observe is what's happening in you, right?
Right.
And so if you take that into account, that totally flips it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So my position is everyone but me is wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one that is wrong.
That's why you got throat punched.
Yep.
Yeah. So you might want to change that if you want a throat. Nah.
I want to keep my throat.
Something Charlie said that I thought was really interesting was he was talking about like having these encounters, you know, with God and how we can like have something like that happen. And it's a place like that we come back and return to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about that. Like I can see that diminishing return law in effect with some of that because we can get okay with stuff. Because it's like I can have multiple, we were talking about this earlier today. Mm-hmm. I can have multiple encounters with the Lord. And then I start to become like where I treat those almost loosely, you know what I mean? Or lightly for a better word. And I don't ever want to be like that. You know what I mean? It's like you want it to be like the first time you ever heard from God in a sense of like how impactful it is for you, you know? And anyway, when you were saying that, I was thinking about this idea and just how I don't ever... And it has. It's very easy to look back and see, like, it has become a thing I've gotten used to, you know, and taken for granted, you know. It's kind of like your wife makes you a special meal, and it's bomb, but she, you know, she cooks special meals 7 days a week for dinner, you know, and pretty soon it's not like you, you know, appreciate it the same way. So I definitely see that it's the law itself, just talking about that, is there's definitely an aspect to that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting. We always compartmentalize stuff
mm-hmm.
a certain way, and we're like, no, this is the way, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think about, like, how we're created. It seems to be that human beings innately were created with addictive natures.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anybody that I know that isn't, like, addicted to something, that isn't like whether it's something healthy or something unhealthy, whether it's going to the gym or drug use or food, it's like we, as we experience stuff, like we want more and more. And like we're saying, like our capacity for that thing increases. It's like, okay, if that's how we create it, why? In a healthy way, an addiction to God would probably be a good thing, because we're continuing to pursue those encounters. We're continuing to pursue conversations and relationship. And as we're encountering him, our capacity for more of him is like built into us so that we don't get filled up. So it's like, okay, you got this much of him and you can't take any more, or else you're going to die if you get one more. Mm. But it's like he's created us with a capacity to ever increase so that we can continually experience and get more of him. But I think it's when we look for these other things to fill that space and to be addicted to, that it becomes unhealthy. And and then, like, that addiction, so like you're addicted to food, which I struggle with food for the majority of my life. Like, you're getting sick. It's having all these negative effects because you're using this substance or this thing or these people. Because sometimes we're addicted to people. Like, if I just need you to be around all the time. And, like, I'm hanging outside. I'm following you to work. Like, because I just need to be around you. And then we're creating unhealthy relationships, all this stuff, because it's not in its proper context. But I think as long as human beings have that thing, that our experiences and the things that we consume will continue to create greater appetite in us and not a lesser one. I've never, like, tasted a good piece of chocolate or something. I was like, that experience was great. But because I had that, it actually made me want it less. normally with stuff that sucks, it's like that. Like, I tried it. Like, I tried liver. I tried raw liver.
Wait, did you say raw liver?
Yeah.
Where were you? Tell me about that. Where was this at?
And the first time I lived in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I never want to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The results weren't good.
Yeah.
For a long time. It's probably what gave me worms.
Oh, wow.
And so that experience diminished my desire to ever, and I didn't have the desire before, but diminished any possibility of it ever happening again.
Right. You went from zero into the negatives.
Into the far negative. Like, it's never. Doesn't matter what kind of language you use. Mm-hmm. We could be on a mission trip in the deepest, darkest jungle somewhere. That's all they eat. I'm fasting right now.
Yeah.
For you. Because I want you to have breakthrough.
The chief comes up, Charlie, and he's like, for us to enter covenant, you must bite liver.
It's time to go.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time to go.
I know you. I think you'd get worms again.
Bro, you weren't there.
Bro, I don't think you've ever had worms then.
Okay, all right. Yeah, have might you? Be. No.
Okay.
Not that I know of, so I'm sure I probably would have known by the sounds of things.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't have worms.
You don't question it? Like, do I have worms?
No, I was like,
there's worms.
There's a foreign entity.
Whoa.
Inside of my body.
Oh, my gosh.
That needs to be removed.
Wow.
I don't like that.
No. Getting back to what we were saying. the good experiences, things that I enjoy, even if they're not good, that produce even a form of escape. Mm-hmm. Like, we tend to, our appetite for those things tend to increase, and we tend to go after them more and more.
Well, like, you were saying about our, we don't ask the question, like, how we're doing or stop to look at stuff because we're afraid of, you know, the answer or getting depressed. And so it's just a cycle, I feel like, because all those things are, we start to get some downtime and any kind of those questions start poking themselves up and we're like, oh, nope, popcorn or, you know, whatever, heroin, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know,
Netflix binge, anything not to have to think about it.
Guilty.
Not to have to go there.
Yeah.
Because when in the quiet, then that stuff does start to come. Mm-hmm. Like, you're miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not. Where's my phone?
Yeah.
And we just start scrolling or doing any number of things to keep ourselves busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that that's, you know, it's legitimate to think if you don't have an answer to the problem, which, you know, enters God in a relationship with him, that's a scary place to go, you know? Like, survival does not recommend that you choose that choice, you know?
Yeah, and it's sad because even the way that we've presented God, it's not accurate, I think, a lot of times, and so he's not even a valid answer to the problems because we've made all of these like micro filters and we say like this is who God is, and I think some of them are even, you know, we have really good intentions with some of them, but they're I think largely keeping people from experiencing him or even pursuing him as a possible option. one of the things I was talking to, we were talking about in the small group that we do is even like God as a father. He's definitely, you know, Abba Father. The Bible talks about the spirit crying out, Abba Father. But we've made, I think we've made like a micro filter of that out of it. And so if you have an issue with a father and you're trying to view him in this micro filter, you have an issue with the father. And I'm telling you, he's your father. You have to see him through this lens. Mm-hmm. I think I could be pushing you away from actually encountering him then. But when I paint to you the ultimate parent, the creator, your creator of all things, who's so much beyond a father, even if you do have that issue, that I'm sure he's going to heal at some point. Right. You can still identify. You don't have to. You don't have to come through that lens to identify him. Right, you can come to him as, "Hey, you're just the one that made me, and I'm screwed up, and I don't know what to do."
Right.
And when I can't even have a close relationship with. But if it's like he's your father, and you got to see him that way, it's like dads suck. And if he's that, then we have. There's nothing else for us to talk about.
Yeah.
But if we, I think if we take away the micro filters that we have. And the micro explanations that we have, and just let him be who he is, and just explain him in the vastness of who he is, then we give people a larger option to experience of who God is.
Yeah, and I honestly, I really feel like, you know, God is the creator of the universe. We have this capacity. We always ask these questions: why am I here? You know. Where did all this come from? Mm-hmm. You know, we got a God-shaped void inside looking for, you know, the truth. And so I do believe that asking the questions is hugely important because I believe God, he wants us to experience him.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, if we ask the questions, I mean, it says all throughout the scriptures, ask and you'll be given, seek and you'll find, you know, knock and I'm going to open the door, you know. And so there's these steps. Once we engage in those, it's God's responsibility on how he encounters us. Because he actually, he knows exactly how we need to, right? Yeah. And so God needed to be a throat puncher, you know, for Justin at that moment.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
like, that's how I'm going to get his attention this time, you know. So, I think you're right. I mean, obviously, if you're a teacher or something, you're presenting you know, aspects of what God's like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, every believer or unbeliever has to interpret that information with where they're at in life. And Holy Spirit, you know, will mold that out. But, God needs to, we don't know what people need, you know. He does.
And it's cool, like, even hearing your 9-year-old boy story, like, it shows you that he's not afraid of the questions.
Right.
Like you asked, like an astronomical question, and he came through with an answer and a diagram and props all this stuff, and he wasn't afraid of, like he knew he wasn't gonna get it, like ultimately he might come back and you might just like revolutionize the world in physics with your understanding of eternity, and we'll be listening to like different type of podcasts from you, but he wasn't bashful, to answer your question. And I think like you approaching him like that, like I'm gonna throw this question out there, like you said, like it's totally your responsibility. Like I have no part in the because I don't know the answer, so I have no part in the response. My part was just in the asking and then letting him answer it however, but being okay with that too. And like we were talking about earlier, like not diminishing the answer or not receiving it. Well, that answered it. That's not the answer I was expecting.
Right.
That's not the answer I wanted.
So good, yeah.
Or you didn't give me that the way that like I would have been most comfortable. And so I'm going to discount it. But it's like you asked a question. And so taking the answer.
You're asking a question to the creator of all things, you know? Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of times people put so many conditions on the answer. Yeah. Like, God, I want to know this. And then they get like this super tunnel vision of, you know, this is the way I'm looking for the answer, you know? And God's speaking all out here, all over the place, but it doesn't fit in there.
Yeah,
you know, so that's huge. I think posturing yourself to be open to receive, like with a sense of wonder, you know, like, God, here's the question. I'm on the lookout for how you're going to answer me. You know, I'm on the lookout for maybe an awkward, you know, awkward or like random situation where somebody comes up and starts telling me something in regards to the question I asked, and I never met this person in my life, or a bumper sticker on the back of the car that, you know, I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff.
And being okay sitting with and wrestling with whatever that answer is, and not quickly like discounting it because the answer is hard to swallow. like radiation is hard to take, but a person that has cancer, they want that answer. And so they're willing to wrestle through all the side effects of that and taking the answers and really, okay, if you're the one that has the answer, like not an answer, but like you have the truth on this and you answer me, then I might be wrong and I might need to change some things. And so like if your answer fits completely outside my paradigm and my belief system, like I might need to revisit some stuff. And being okay wrestling with that, being okay being saying like, whether non-believers, believers, like maybe my whole belief system about all of this is wrong because your answer is too hard for me to swallow. Right. And so like, are you, because if you were wrong, then maybe you should be asking me and I should be giving you the answers. Right. But if I'm the one that has all the questions and you have all the answers, then maybe I'm wrong. And being okay just grappling with the Jacob thing, grappling with that a little bit.
Well, yeah, my question to that would be like, you know, what's your motivation for following, or what's your motivation for seeking? Because if it's not to know the truth, then what is it for?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, because if you want to know the truth, then you identifying problems that's not a problem in itself. It's actually a means to a solution. You know, you wrestling with things, okay, this isn't good for me, or this is a lie, right? And I want to grow. I have to address these things and remove them so that I can continue to get better, you know, as a human being, which for me, like if you follow Jesus and you give your life to the Lord, like that's what it's all about, you know, to know him, to become better, to grow, you know. And if you get, if it's about knowing answers, that's when it becomes hard to hear stuff like that.
You shut yourself off to what the truth is.
Yeah.
Because you already have the answer in your head that you want. And so if it's not that, then you're just going to discount it. Like that 9-year-old boy didn't have an answer for eternity. And so he was just open to whatever came.
Yeah.
And what he got was phenomenal.
Yeah. That's so fun. That's so fun.
Good. We become grown-ups, and we know so much.
I'm leaving here asking, Jesus, show me how eternity works. Actually, right now, I'm asking right now.
Lord. I'm just going to take a nap right now.
Yeah.
So and you can come to me in a dream.
Well, I say I can't do that. There I go through my narrow scope going, I'm asking you this, and I want a dream, and I want space, and I want, and I'm not going to lie. That sounds great. I'll take it like that, you know. But yeah, I want it nevertheless.
Because he might show you eternity in a cell or in a water molecule or in like the eyeball of a child or just something completely obscure.
I'm open to that. That sounds wonderful.
You might be at the grocery store with your nugget of gold looking at lettuce. How much lettuce can I get with this?
How much lettuce?
You're like... Now.
All right. Well, it's been about that time.
Yeah. Should we clap?
Sure. You look like you want to.
I always do it for you. Clap. All right. Thank you, Charlie, for joining us on the Keystone Ryan podcast. We talked a lot. We said a lot of different things.
Yes, we did.
And here we are.
Went off on some tangents.
Yes, we did.
Wouldn't be Sound Mind without at least one.
Milking cougars.
Yeah. Dangerous job.
And other things as well. We talked about cheese.
Did you know that?
Are we going to the Onion soon?
Yeah, I would love to. I can't today.
But we should plan that.
Yeah, let's do it, dude. Throw it on the counter. Get some cougar gold.
Yep. Yes, we should. I have another idea, too, because I have some cougar gold at my house. So we could do like a more, you know, personal guy time with just a chunk of cougar gold and some other stuff to put it on.
All right. Well, as long as that's not code and it's just cheese, then I'm down.
All right.
All right.
Not code.
All right. See you guys.